Hello and welcome back to Techies, the podcast about simplifying our lives one gadget at a time. This is episode 32 for Sunday, June 28th. Hadn't changed that yet. June 28th. Good thing, good old system tray down there telling me the time and the date and the year, in fact, and the PM and the and that I need to upgrade to Windows 10. All right, here we are, everyone.
Get about that time zone.
Welcome back, and I am Shane, and I am joined again by Tony, as always. Tony, what's going on, man?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys doing?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
Pretty well. Not too bad.
It's good. Good outside.
Excellent.
I've just been outside, you know, just working just, the garden and stuff like that.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
It's a great way to stay in shape.
It's a great way to stay in shape. Yeah, that's a good point.
Anything else new?
What else
is new? Just doing stuff?
Just doing stuff. Yeah, taking advantage of the hot weather. The good weather outside, I should say.
You better take advantage of it.
Good times. All right, and that other voice is Matt. Matt, what's Matt? Hey, what's up, Matt?
Hey, I am doing well.
Good. As always, very good to hear that.
Keeping myself busy.
Yeah, you are. Good for you.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you stay busy. Yeah, you do.
You know, it occurred to me, like, I believe that when we first started this podcast, we kind of talked about any projects we had before, but I think we've kind of stopped that a bit. I don't know if there's anything you guys are working on. I just thought I'd bring that up, and if not, that's fine.
Yeah, we did talk about I think that was
just anything we might have been working on in our off time or anything like that. Just
yeah, it was very.
But I know life kind of, you know, takes over a bit, right? Sometimes things get put on the back burner.
Yes, that they do. It is not the year 21,889, but
I don't know what happened there.
Matt, is that you? That's not the year. It's not June 21th. Anyway. So what's new with Matt? Did we say what's Matt? What's going on, Matt?
Yeah, just keeping busy. Yeah, not much.
Good. Staying busy. You guys are both busy. Busy people that don't want to talk about the personal lives. I understand.
Yeah.
Good to
Do
hear.
Do you want to, Shane? Is there anything you want to talk about?
I am drinking a cherry Dr. Pepper with a little bit of whiskey that my girlfriend was so nice to put in there for me. Think she's trying to get me drunk.
Whoa.
You guys drinking any tasty treats?
She's trying to take advantage of something other than the weather.
Oh-ho! Oh, snap. Anything? Matt, you're drinking water again, right?
Yeah, being boring.
It's okay. No, you're apparently the healthier one of us. Tony?
Shiraz, red wine.
Good. That's healthy, I suppose. Mm-hmm. In its own way. I don't know if you consume it by the bottle, if it's, yeah, I don't. But, you know, to each their own.
That's a good point, yes. For the antioxidants.
What?
I said drinking for the antioxidants.
Yes. I read it for the articles, in fact. Yes, excellent. Good to hear. Good job. Nice. All right, well, let's move right along. News. Nest launches its first product since becoming part of Google, a smart camera called Nest Cam. This is according to Business Insider. And you may be a little familiar with that little company called Nest. It was our very first episode. Tony talked about the Nest that he had and still owns. Still treating you pretty well, Tony?
Still treating me good, and they just updated the iOS app on it.
Oh, excellent. Good to hear. That's great. They're still keeping up with it. Well, it sounds like they're doing strong here. So this is called the Nest Cam, as the article suggested. This is the first product that they've actually come out with since Google purchased them, which was, I think it was like a year ago, was it? Something along those lines. Tony, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, it must have been. Actually, it might have been a little longer now.
Sure. Last year. I think the article just says last year. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got mine like, what, a year and a half? Yeah. Around a year, maybe even some change ago. And then shortly after that, then Google bought them.
So what this is essentially is a new version of what was Dropcam, which I wasn't too familiar with, but Google also acquired them, and they did the same kind of cameras apparently. So one of the other things they're doing here is they're partnering with companies like Liberty Mutual and American Family to offer discounts, I guess through those insurance companies. I think it says something like 5% for the year, which is kind of interesting. So, you're staying safe. You're doing certain things that are allowing. I think that's actually for Nest as a whole. If you're using any Nest products, they're offering those discounts. So that's kind of cool. So this is the camera is Wi-Fi connected to see what is going on inside of your house, which I kind of would like to see more cameras that you can actually mount potentially outside. I'm assuming this isn't weatherproof or anything like that, but this will allow you to can be triggered for with loud noises in case there's a burglar in your house, for example. this comes with a stand, just a simple stand that has a magnet on it that obviously you can just mount to any sort of metallic surface. If you want it, mounted on some sort of metallic wall or something like that, some sort of surface like that. This particular version, updated, has a higher resolution and also night vision included, which is kind of neat. And this is the other thing I thought was kind of neat, kind of cool, is there is a walkie-talkie-like functionality built into it so that if they use the example of if you have a cat on a table and you look in on him, you can be like, get off the damn table. okay, maybe they didn't say that exactly, but something along those lines. Two-way radio, I guess, type of thing going on there. So pretty neat. Starts off, it'll be available for $199. And along with that, there is a 10-month subscription option that allow you to store the history in there for longer periods of time. So then along with that, they just go on to talk about more about how Nest products are becoming more integrated with each other. They list a couple different examples. If a smoke alarm, detects a problem, then the thermostat could potentially turn off so that there's not carbon monoxide poisoning that occurs. And then the other one was the smoke alarm could also, if it detects smoke, you could have your fans turned off since a lot of fire deaths are actually caused from inhaling the smoke. So that's nice. Kind of neat. I'm glad the company's doing well and keeps making these products certainly this is certainly ways that are really going to help families and everything like that, and I'm hoping at some point I can get some of these products when I have accumulated a little more funds. Maybe I need
just imagine
to be
more people yelling at their kids than a cat.
Yeah.
Get
off the couch.
It's kind of a benign example.
Quit jumping on the bed.
Well, this one reminds me of I do have a camera that I have connected to Wi-Fi. My sister got one to see her dog, and I'm like, oh yeah, I could see how my dog is too. Kind of keep tabs on my dog, and we do have different versions or different things. The one I have is a D-Link camera, but then it was like the cheap one you just have in. You can kind of do a night vision mode for low light and then regular. But they do go up to HD as well as, like, maybe waterproof. They do have weatherization ones that you can kind of keep up outside too.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if this one will go that route someday as well. But I know Nest is kind of more about the inside of the home versus the outside. But
how does it stream to your smartphone? Is it do you have to have software for that, or does it just come with software?
They didn't really go into that too much. They just mentioned that it's Wi-Fi connected.
There could be a companion app. There is with the D-Link one I have. But I did see that you have the $10 a month subscription if you want to store that data. And I just kind of have, the real time. I'm not storing anything. I think there are options as well for D-Link as a, you know, an alternative too. But I am a Nest person. I do like Nest. I'm not sure how it'll work with me liking Apple as well. I kind of feel like now that Google bought them, they're part of the, I don't want to say the enemy, but because they do have a good product. And I know Apple's got their HomeKit solution coming up, and I'm not exactly sure what that's all going to entail. But
I don't know if I trust Google as a company with this kind of, paying them $10 a month to hold on to my videos. Do I want Google to have that much, of my home? It seems so creepy.
We see what products you have. Let's, you know, let's throw that out there. Like, oh,
yeah, you're
almost out of your Rice Krispies.
Okay,
here.
Okay. So that's, having said that, I can kind of see that point, Matt. But at the same time, okay, you don't trust Google. You don't trust Google because the worst thing they're going to do is advertise things to you, right? That's essentially what you're afraid of. Am I correct?
Yeah,
I don't want to, like, I should knock on wood here, but what's the worst that could happen?
It's like a slippery slope, but I'm definitely pretty confident they're going to use it for advertising, but then you never know what else. I mean, and Google's already got enough information on me with my email, so I don't need to give them any more.
Yeah, I mean, okay, as far as trustworthy companies go, though, well, okay, maybe Apple is even a little, I don't want to say they're a little more trustworthy. They seem to be a lot more on the side of privacy these days. They've been really talking about it at the conferences and things. But having said that, you pay a lot more. You pay a premium for an Apple product, generally speaking. They can kind of afford to do that. Google gets their revenue from advertising in a lot of cases, probably still the majority of their, I would imagine. I mean, would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So, you know, I get it. and I think I trust Google enough that they're not going to be, that is really the worst thing I have to worry about, is that I'm going to get certain what, text-based ads that I don't know.
You're going to get ads that are more targeted towards you, yeah. Either you ignore, you're like, wow, I actually want this, so here we go. Look at, thumbs up Google, yeah, you targeted something I'm going to buy.
Right.
You know, and that's what they want to do.
What are they going to try and sell you if you put it like in your bedroom? What is the weird products they're going to be pushing onto you?
Oh boy,
it's true. I'm sure there is. And especially at this point, I think Google's been in that scenario where they had a EULA of some kind that wasn't written exactly right, and they came out and said to everybody, like, "Oh no, that was just an accident. We didn't even mean it to sound like that." You know. So I'm sure this is all written out very well, that they're not going to actually be looking at your videos. I mean, that's
that's a good question. But I know with Google Photos, they're definitely that there's people that are staying away from that because they do look in that, and they will send you products based off of whatever, you know, what they might find in your pictures.
Oh really?
There's people, I mean, and you got that unlimited storage, so that's a nice, I mean, I don't want to get off topic here.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting. I was going to say Google may not look at them. The NSA might, but, maybe not, though.
If anything, just to target ads, so, you know, you take a picture of, I don't know, you know, one of the, let's say there's a Lenovo laptop. Obviously you're running Windows something. Oh, here's a, I don't know if they're going to target a game based off of Windows. Windows, maybe that's a little too, you know, specific. Or, you know, something product. Oh, you're almost out of Pepsi. It was a Pepsi. There's half empty Pepsi in there.
We see that your dog is out of food.
I'm trying to find a good example, but I can't find one. I'm sure they have either algorithms or something that's going to find something.
And again, not to get too off topic.
You might want to buy some new underwear.
Not to get too off topic. Can you imagine?
No, there's a hole in that one.
You're in a household. All right. you're in a house where you've got the Nest alarm, right? You think it'll get to the point where it'll be able to detect that your plant hasn't been watered in a while, and it'll turn the home sprinklers on just to...
There you go. Well, your plant's almost dead. Why don't we, you know, here's a coupon for some Aquafina. Boom.
Exactly. All right, on that note...
Sky's the limit.
Matt, why don't you give us what you got here?
All right, Verge reports that your next laptop might have a touch-sensitive spacebar. So a company called Synaptix, which I guess is known for laptop trackpads, which I guess I have no clue where these are being used. I'm assuming that no HP.
Everywhere, I think.
Is it?
Having worked on laptops and I've seen that name in the software. I think they might. They're probably like the top touchpad manufacturer. Oh. If I could be wrong, but I've seen that name a lot.
Well, that's good news for this product. They're coming out. That's good news for this. So they're trying to make a touch-sensitive space bar called Smart Bar. Pretty much has five different actions that you can do with different taps, maybe different regions of the space bar, or if you scroll on the space bar, you could probably swipe left or right. The most useful example they gave was swiping left or right would highlight the word before or after, so you could maybe delete something or select something really quick. So that seemed like the best use case that I heard of, but they are making it, I guess, pretty customizable. So manufacturers like HP, Lenovo, and Dell, they decide to put the Smart Bar into their laptops. They can easily modify it with whatever software they want to accomplish different tasks. So pretty cool stuff. Just some simple ways to maybe speed up your productivity and save a couple keystrokes or maybe reaching for the mouse. So I thought this was a pretty cool product.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Is that... I was expecting more for some reason. No, I...
we see you using your keyboard. Here's some Aquafina. You might be tired.
Yeah, well, having said that, there's no fingerprint type of functionality that could happen on this, or could there?
They didn't mention it. You never know. They might add that in or build it in, but this was more of just detecting where you're clicking on the key, on the space bar to do different things or detecting any kind of motion on it. So
I suppose if it's... not multi-touch, or it is multi-touch, you said?
Yeah, they actually did. They give an example of pinching on your keyboard to zoom in and out. So I guess it's an example that it can do multi-touch. I think that's a pretty terrible use case, when especially if your trackpad is right below your...
Well, having said that, let me just say something. I actually kind of like that idea, because having used pinch to zoom so often and so frequently being disappointed when it rotates, I could see this probably wouldn't do that if it was just the space bar that had that on it. So could be okay for that.
Do you use gestures a lot when you're on a laptop, whether it be the Mac or PC? Either.
I switched from mouse to the trackpad for my desktop area.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm no longer using a mouse at all, just because the gestures are so much nicer on it.
Nice. All right.
I've been using my laptop's touchpad a lot lately. I'm just lazy. I don't want to take my mouse with me. And
I gotta say, I'm a mouse guy, though. I don't.
Yeah, I always was. Be,
and I'm more maybe on the iPhone or an iPad or something. Then the gestures seem to work. And I know that's few a little bit. There's more on the touchpads. But I'm old school. But I like a mouse.
And yeah, I do normally. Although I for a while there my MacBook's touchpad was kind of broken, so that's maybe part of the reason I wasn't using it. Now since I got it, it was broken because the battery was bulging so much that it was pressing up into the touchpad. That was kind of an issue.
Oh yeah.
So I finally got that battery replaced, and I've almost felt obligated to be using the trackpad more often. But it's just easier to take in and out without having to plug the mouse in, all the time. Starting to use what?
I'm slowly starting to maybe use the gestures a little bit more. I would say a while ago, I got a wireless mouse. I hate it, and I can't remember it. So I'm kind of like you. You're like, well, you kind of just said you're lazy. You don't want to take it out of your laptop bag or whatever. But I almost just hate using this mouse. It was sleek. It was small. I don't know if I should say
which mouse was it. Yeah, let's call it out.
Should I call it out? I don't know. I don't want to.
Wait, what?
I don't know if it's what is what's, that. What's wrong I want with this to come back to bite me?
What's wrong with calling out the mouse?
All right. I don't know, but all right, fine. It was a Logitech, and it was like their sleek one. My god, I hate it.
Is that like a 4 gig model? Jeez,
what's that?
It's a 4 gig model, man. It's the worst.
Yeah, you
mouse.
Can call it the 4 gig model. Oh my god, I just doesn't click right. It doesn't respond well. I almost just want a regular mouse, because I know that like a physical with physical buttons, none of this tap stuff or whatever, because it's just like it's whatever their sleek one is. It's smaller than I thought it was, and I don't know, maybe we should do an XP boost on external devices.
Just a 20-minute rant for Tony.
This one's just the worst
XP boost section, and here I am ranting about, and if if I was Shane, I'd give it, you know, a negative 0 out of 5 or whatever it would be, or negative 10 or something.
Yeah. Probably.
Oh, I do use it all still, but I just, because...
I still kind of prefer
few and far between, but it doesn't... When it works, I should say.
One of my favorite mice still to this day, and to the point where I bought a few of them off eBay, was the good old Microsoft Optical Mouse.
Here, I got this guy right now. Have you guys seen this?
What the
this
heck guy. Is that?
This is
where it's a charger.
No,
I thought it was the mouse itself.
This is a nice mouse. I like this guy.
Wait, was that the mouse or the charger?
No, this is a different one. This is a different one.
Ah, okay.
This is on my desktop. And it's wired. I've never really had good luck with wireless ones, I guess.
Yeah. Although they have gotten a lot better. I kind of feel like since, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of the wireless mice have gone to that, whatever that technology is that has the orange cog on it. Do you know what that's called?
Orange tooth.
Yes.
What about that
orange gear tooth? Part? Grinds my gears tooth.
It grinds my... orange...
I forget what that one was called. Yeah, I actually had the last mouse I was using was the Bluetooth one from Apple. I think it's the Mighty Mouse, the one with the touch gestures on it. I actually like that one a lot.
It's nice, except it's not for games. For games.
Oh yeah, that would be terrible for games.
I did play Diablo 3 for a while with that thing, and ultimately ended up throwing it against the wall.
I gotta say the Razer Naga series or whatever. Those are great ones. And again, I don't know if we've ever done an XP boost on. I know we're still in the news section, but an XP boost on, like, you know, maybe input devices or something. Maybe we can do that. Maybe that's something we can do someday. But I think you lose something with wireless, although I think a lot of people use it. And
you can't see it, but that's what I'm using right here, actually.
Your Naga Razer?
Mm-hmm. Using it right now.
I did sell that before, but part of me, maybe it should just get it back.
Well, it's nice. It's nice for MMOs. And that's
true, because it's basically got a keypad where your thumb is on the mouse. I mean, a whole keypad.
It sounds like you hate this mouse that you've got enough. You should probably go back to the one you like.
12 keys.
Well, the one I just showed you, I like. Button. I like this one right now. It's something basic. I like it. But the...
It's basic. Wow. It looks like you're holding on to like a... I don't know. It's like a...
Like this.
It's actually 17 buttons on the mouse.
Two buttons?
17 buttons. Oh, that really is the mouse. Okay.
It's like a fat mouse, and then you rotate it 90 degrees, and that's it.
Well, it's mostly for your, you know, your wrist or whatever. It's supposed to be better for it.
The thing looks like an iron.
It kind of does look like an iron.
There you go.
Iron mouse. That sounds like a great movie.
Iron mouse. Here's the one I got to say.
Does it take water?
Here. This is the one that sucks. Right here. I gotta say,
that's the one that
this is the one that's got the gestures.
Oh no,
it actually looks
that's
like
the Logitech Apple one, isn't it?
This is the Logitech one. It looks Logitech nice, version. Looks sleek. I thought it'd be great for my laptop. It's small, you know, easy to carry, whatever, if you put it in a bag or whatever. Bluetooth, I thought it'd be great. And here I go doing like an XP boost, sort of. But I gotta say, I don't. And the other positive thing about it is you can connect it to two different computers at once.
At the same time.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah. You got you got your little switch on it, so it's kind of nice.
Well, how much multi-boxing can you do with that thing?
Well, there you go.
Multiple computers. Wow.
I haven't heard that term in a long time. Multi-box.
So
Matt.
Okay, I guess using that between your desktop and your laptop, that's actually kind of just switching. I was thinking the use case there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
at the same time. It's connected to. Tethered to both.
That makes more sense.
Like, well, here's the. I don't know if you see. Like, there's a switch. There's two switches. The on/off, and then the one below it is, you know, Bluetooth 1, Bluetooth 2. You switch it when you go.
Oh,
to your...
weird. Oh, that's awesome.
So it is. I thought it'd be great, and I just, it's just not responsive at all. So,
Know. It's not a responsive website. That's too bad.
It smells nice though.
Okay.
I like that Scotch tape smell. Apple does a good job with that.
Tony.
It's
weird
terrible.
He says that every new product he gets.
It's really 3M. It's what the Scotch tape. I'm going off now like crazy. Matt, go on.
They need to have a warning. They need to have a warning on there. So if it's made in 3M's plants, like, warning, made in a factory with Scotch tape.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. We're up to Tony, aren't we?
We're up to me right now.
There you go.
Sorry about that. We just sort of segued to input devices versus your your laptop, trackpad, spacebar technology.
Yeah.
I guess you're done then?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
All right, I'll go to mine. This one's from Forbes, and it's humans rejoice, world's first commercial jetpack to go on sale next year. I don't know what's going on right now.
Said it again.
What did I say? Oh, crap. Forbes.
You said that wrong once online. I think it was the first episode, and then it's been a running joke forever, so now it's probably just ingrained in your mind to say it wrong.
I know it's Forbes.
That's okay. Oh, that's all right.
Gosh. This is going to be the comedic episode of the year.
Awesome.
Anyway, okay. Did
I just golden.
Oh, my God.
Keep anyway, going, Tony. Right. Say it again.
Forbes. There you go. Did you just put that in for a bumper someday?
No,
or something?
It's like the latest competitor to Arby's.
Oh, man.
It could be like a toy store. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Forbes. It's Forbes, but I'll probably always say Forbes now. You guys are both laughing. I'm like, what did I say? Did I say that? I didn't even notice it. Oh, man. Anyway.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
This company is Martin, which is creating a jetpack, which it's supposed to come out next year. I think they started back in 2008 to invent this thing, to create this thing. And it's $150,000, and mostly it's for, either environmental, like, I want to say, when I first heard environmental, I thought, like, you know, volcanoes or things like that, where they're trying to get, you know, people or things out of the way. So I would say mostly emergency is what this is going to be for. This isn't something that is for...
private,
like travel or private or consumers. I suppose a consumer could purchase one. I mean, some people have $150,000 disposable income that they could probably just say, why not? But this is mostly for, you know, emergency situations where a helicopter probably can't get in there. So it can be piloted either by an individual or remotely from controls, like on the ground somewhere. And okay, some of the specs for it are it goes 46 miles per hour, but a max of like 30 minutes. So it's for short, kind of small solutions I really think this is mostly for emergencies, or I would say the military too. What they were saying is government agencies and again emergency services are more likely their target audience or their, you know, for purchasing this. Max altitude of 3,000 feet and can carry up to 265 pounds, which I'm thinking if you're trying to get someone out of a burning building or something, you're either going to want your pilot to be extremely thin or not at all. And then that's when the operated remotely would come into play.
Could just be very muscular.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that also has weight to it, right? Muscles. So yeah, I think I said 46.
Sending in the rock, you know, you're gonna need to. This thing's gonna need to support some weight.
That's a good point.
it's pretty big too. Looking at the screenshot of it, it is. It's not small.
I think it's the V4 like rocket or not rockets. Actually, it's not really a jetpack. I think it uses. Oh, I forgot what it said on it. I don't know, some kind of wind or something. I don't know. They look like almost like jet engines.
The souls of puppies, right? That's what it runs on? No?
That's right. The tears.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Sorry. So it looks like it would be good for, you know, those situations. Again, I keep saying like emergencies. So I don't know how or if somebody would want this as a hobby. Oh, I'm just going to, you know, take a stroll for, you know, half hour or so around the... you know, city or, you know, maybe the countryside. And although I suppose people could get aerial shots, you know, for movies and things like that. Although you would probably want to use a drone for that too. Probably be cheaper. So, but as you know, and they're saying 2016, sometime around that area where it's going to be available.
Sweet. I was going to say, if I feel like even though it's so much money, you'd almost want to make sure to have an extra one just in case, you know, this thing can go 46 miles an hour, even though it's 30 minute minimum on or minimum 30 minute max on that. I can just see someone going at 46 miles an hour, though, you know, bumps into a tree or something, and they need another jetpack to bring this guy out or something.
Get another one.
Yeah.
But it's also customizable. And there's a nice video on their website, on Forbes.
There you go.
Yeah.
I knew it. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
No. They were saying that that you can customize different parts of it. So it can kind of be you can make the solution of it, you know, how you want it to be for your situation.
I just envision it gives you, remember those little toys you get with the big sticker thing that you could just put the different stickers on, whichever one you wanted? That would be the customization would be just a packet of stickers that you could throw on it.
I hope not, but yes, you're right. No, I don't know.
That'd be awesome.
But I don't know. It seems like it would be pretty good. I don't know.
I think it would only be appropriate to have an Apple sticker
on it.
It is huge.
It is big, but it's also smaller than a helicopter. Chopper.
It's got that going for it.
So I really think that is. That's, you know, you can kind of have that. And I'm sure it's cheaper than a helicopter, too. Or, you know, sending it out there. Although, they're not going to be like, oh, you can't afford to send a helicopter out. You're going to have to go down to the one less of the jetpack. Sorry. You might lose a couple lives. But, I don't know.
Holy crap. Yeah, I'm just looking now.
It's a good video on there, so you guys check it out if you want to.
The thing is ridiculous. Yeah, I'll have to look at the... Oh, maybe I'll see if I'll watch
it. It's 5 minutes long, yeah. I don't... Yeah.
We're watching it now! Just kidding. Yeah, I'll check it out later. All right! Well, hey, I guess that's about it for the news, right? I think so, yeah?
Sure.
Let's mosey along. Is that okay? You're cool with that?
XP boost.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about e-readers today. E-readers. Yeah. So, but I'm still trying to figure out for sure. What did we call? I'm still trying to figure out what did we call the RSS news readers.
News aggregate.
I don't think that's what we called them on the episode, though, did we?
I thought so.
I don't know. Part of me thinks we may have misnamed them e-readers also at the time, but maybe we just call them readers. I don't know. Yeah, because there was, what did we have? Reader was one of them, and Google Reader. And
News Reader.
These ones are electronic.
At any rate, I'd like to apologize to our listeners if that was the case. So let's go right into this. I want to talk about just a few things. Just a few options. Just our experience we've had with certain e-readers. And I think we're going to start here with the Kindle. Not just any Kindle, though. The Kindle Paperwhite, since that's the one that I have. I think Matt has some experience with that one. Yes?
Yep. Yeah, we had a regular Kindle and a Paperwhite, so...
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, maybe you can give us a little shine a little light on the traditional, more traditional Kindle also. However, the Paperwhite, the thing I like about that, the thing I really enjoyed about that, well, there's many things. Kindle in general is really nice for the fact that just a quick tell a little story here. When some of us were on a little vacation, I saw one of the, shall I just say, one of the members in our party had an e-reader, had a Kindle. I don't remember if it was a specific Kindle. It was some sort of Kindle. And I noticed it looked really great in the daylight. You could read it perfectly well, which I was, I don't know why, up until that point, I hadn't really thought too much about it. But it definitely hit me at that point that this would be something I could really... see myself, well, at the time, I could see myself really using, you know, anywhere I went, it would be good for that. And the reason it's able to do this is not, it doesn't use a traditional LCD display that you'd see on, you know, iPads nowadays and other tablets. Uses this monochrome e-ink, or I've seen e-ink, they say e-ink and they say e-paper for this also. Just gets a little bit confusing that the display itself, I guess, is e-paper, and on the Paperwhite in particular, it's what's referred to as front-lit rather than backlit, which is what you get on a traditional LCD display. that's where there's a light actually behind all of your LCD pixels and everything, and that shines through. And this somehow uses, I don't know the exact technology, but I think it uses a series of mirrors sort of to have the light go along the sides and then out to the front, if I'm not mistaken. Do either of you, or either of you, familiar with
I honestly have no clue how it works, so that sounds good to me. Series of mirrors.
Something along those lines.
Series of mirrors.
Which I found really does, it at least, and who knows, maybe it's all in my head, but I think it makes things nicer to read, also easier to read because of that. And on the paper white, there's an adjustable, you know, you can adjust that light. You can turn it off completely, which sometimes I almost kind of prefer, because the light is a little bit, it has kind of a bluish tint to it also, so sometimes I almost prefer that off if I don't need it at all. But if you do, it's weird because it says, and I'm still not, unless they wrote this wrong or I read this wrong, but I swear it talked about how in lighter rooms you want the brightness up more, and in darker rooms you want it down. Is there any science to that, or was I just reading that wrong?
Yeah, I think it's just like with your laptop display or, you know, an iPad, you'd kind of turn the brightness down in the dark just because you don't need as much contrast. And then when it's bright out, you need to crank it up to just kind of see over the ambient light.
Okay, sure. I guess that makes sense. So one of the things at the time, I should say, on the Paperwhite itself, the biggest difference probably between that and a traditional Kindle is that you just have really the one button, kind of like, well, similar to an iPad, only in that there's really less. I think there really was just the one button on the Paperwhite, whereas at the previous models, you had several buttons, you know, to control and turn pages and everything. This uses a touch screen that allows you to turn pages and tap on specific buttons. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but the previous Kindles didn't have a touch screen on it at all. Is that accurate?
I think they had a version without the Paperwhite, you know, without the front lit display that didn't have buttons. It was a touch one. Okay. And then, yeah, I think the one they sell right now that is not Paperwhite does have the buttons. Okay. I actually did really like the buttons. I feel like I think you're getting into this, but the display and the refresh of the screen is just slow enough that I do a swipe and it feels like there's lag there. And, you know, you might swipe a couple times to get the page to change. And I just like the physical buttons on the older one.
Right,
but
right.
To each his own.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. The previous Kindles, it is faster. That response rate that's on the screen is a bit faster than it was on previous versions of it, but still seems that it still has enough of that delay also. Yeah, to your point, definitely. Probably one of the biggest advantages of getting an e-reader like this versus a tablet is that you're going to get great battery life on it. This on the Paperwhite specifically, you're going to get a single charge will last up to 8 weeks, which is pretty awesome. You're not going to get that on, your iPad will last something like a month, isn't it? Like a month without any use, but you know, certainly you can go through your iPad's battery in a day for sure, or even less than that if you're using it all the time. Mm-hmm. Especially playing games like I like to do. The storage space, you know, you're not going to get nearly the amount on an iPad, but it just really doesn't seem to be an issue because, you know, you're downloading books. That's about it. There is a web browser on there. I don't know if it's still considered beta. I think they were saying it was experimental at the time. And, you know, I don't really see myself using that. I don't really see many people using it. The browser was pretty, it did a surprising amount, but it is just a black and white display and it is slow. So, you're not really going to get, unless you just really need to look something up on the web, that's probably about the only thing you're really going to be using it for. The Paperwhite runs at, I think this price is up to date. I believe I looked this up, whenever it was, a couple weeks ago. Now it's $119 for that. And I am giving this, I like to do the star ratings, even though these might not be one for one per se, but I'm going to say as a product, standalone product by itself, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 stars. And looks like there's something new here. Beep, 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 beep. Late breaking news. Who put this in here?
Oh, yeah, I think June 30th, they're coming out with a new version of the Paperwhite. Just a higher resolution display, 300 pixels per inch versus I think the old one was 150, or they said twice as many, so that sounds about right. And the big thing is the new font that Amazon created for the Kindle. They said something about a single battery charge lasting weeks, not hours, but I'm pretty sure it did last weeks to begin with, so I'm assuming it's just improved battery life. But yeah, so a couple new things coming out. Nothing, you know, groundbreaking. I'm sure it's pretty similar to the old one, but just probably a much crisper display.
You didn't say refresh rate, did you?
I didn't hear anything from about refresh rate. I kind of pulled out the big bullet points from the article, or at least from the sales pitch.
Well, one of the nice things... Sorry, what's that?
Yeah, a lot of it was just normal Kindle stuff. So, adjustable light, reading day at night.
So even though there's companies... I know we talked about this. One thing I don't think we talked about is how Pebble is... I think they're in kind of financial struggle at this point, but I know they talked about that. Was it Tony brought up the time? Was it Time? Their new watch.
Whose watch?
Pebble.
Yep. Yeah. Pebble's got a new watch. I'm not exactly sure what it's called, but yeah, it supposedly had a really good fast refresh rate.
Yeah, was that more or less e-ink that used? It was something along those lines.
I think they're the ones that called it e-paper.
Okay.
I don't know if that's just a branding thing or if there's actual technical differences between them.
Sure.
I do really like the Kindle products. You know, the slow refresh rate, it seems like a big deal, but then when you think about it, you're just reading a book, so it's, you know, flipping pages. It's not really a big deal, you know, from one page to the next. Right. And it's for its use case, you know, the price and then reading outside really well, and then, you know, battery life, and it's pretty darn light. So it's got a lot of good things going for it. If you just want to read books, it's actually really good.
Yeah.
When you say the slow refresh rate, is that when you're turning pages, it kind of just, you know, goes blank for a bit and then switches to the, you know, all the text comes back? Because I had that with the Nook.
Yep. There was, and there's a couple options on there.
That makes sense. Yeah.
With the Paperwhite, there were some options for how it refreshed the page. I think one, you know, clears out the entire page with every, you know, every refresh, and then another just kind of, I don't know exactly how it works, it keeps some fragments, you know, of that ink on there, but that makes it a little bit faster. At any rate, I totally to Matt's point, it's super easy to read on the thing. Whereas sometimes I have trouble kind of reading on an LCD display. Most of the time it's not an issue, but this just makes it easy to read anywhere that you are in any lighting, which is really nice. And it's not using traditional pixels per se. I'm not exactly sure how that all works, because sometimes you can actually see some jagged, you know, pixelation on some of the fonts I found. So more or less it is digital, more or less. So it probably does work with pixels to some extent, but maybe not, you know, the way it's actually outputted on the screen isn't maybe done in a traditional pixel sense.
I thought it looked better than just if you compared it to like an iPad or something with a comparable resolution.
Sure.
I thought the Kindle actually looked a lot crisper. So I'm not sure what they're doing there, but it did look really nice with a much less pixel density than, you know, in the newer iPads and things that are out there.
And you are saying
it did look really nice.
You are saying the new one is 300 PPI, so that's pixels per inch. So really, it is pixels, I guess, is really what's going on there. But it's sharp. I mean, the iPhone, the iPad, they're using similar. They have similar PPI on there, right? Also,
I think they're in the 300 range. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, resolution wise, you're maybe actually getting something similar to that, but somehow manages to look crisper, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting stuff.
Yeah. I loved the Kindle. I only got rid of it just because I was traveling and lugging around an iPad and a Kindle at the same time. But I preferred to read on the Kindle. It's just I didn't want to grab everything and bring it around while I'm traveling. So I had to pick one device.
Sure.
And the Kindle couldn't do everything an iPad could. So unfortunately, I had to go.
Right.
There's a segue, Shane.
There it is. I was about to say. That'll take us right into the iPad, which is what I have. I have an iPad mini. You guys, Matt, you have a an Air now, or what do you have?
Yep, I've got an Air 2.
Okay, that's more, you know, the most, I guess, one of the more up-to-date ones. It is the most up-to-date, pretty much, kind of their flagship.
So right now, I guess we'll probably for the next month or so or two, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
September, October, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a Mini 2, and I guess the latest one is the Mini 3, as far as the minis go. The thing about the iPad, it really does not read well in sunlight. You're going to get, it is a glass display, you're going to get glare beyond belief. If you're in pure daylight, you may not be able to, if it's a bright day, you're not really going to be able to read at all. One of the advantages is it's a color display versus, maybe if I didn't make that clear before, the Kindles are not, at least, I should say everything but the Kindle Fire, which we'll be getting to in a moment, but everything with the e-ink is monochrome. And not to go on a tangent here, but that's those Pebble watches are actually somehow color e-paper or e-ink sort of displays.
Yeah, some.
So I got to think that's coming down the line at some point, but... in the meantime, the only color displays you're going to get is on a, at least as far as e-readers go, will be on an LCD display or a, you know, tablet, really. So it is, the brightness you can get on these things is extreme, though. You can crank that brightness up there and get a very rich and bright looking display. That's probably going to be the case in just about any tablet that you get, but certainly on the iPad you get... probably one of the brightest displays you can get on a tablet. You know, generally speaking, I say generally here, but probably just based on which version of the software, which version of the iPad you actually have, it's going to be very responsive compared to what you get on any sort of e-ink, e-reader. And just want a quick mention also, Tony kind of mentioned this before, and I don't know if we'll talk about this at all, but the... another option to the traditional Kindle is the Barnes & Noble Nook. That's another e-ink sort of e-reader out there as well.
I had that for a while.
Direct competitor to the traditional Kindle. I mean, this is going to be an advantage of pretty much any tablet, but, you know, and again, just talking iPad here at the moment, but... you can really just do just about anything on it, including web browsing. That's not an issue. You can play games. You can download any sort of app. You can listen to music, any of that kind of stuff that you will not be able to do on a Kindle or a Nook, at least not there. Yeah, now that I think about it, does the Nook have a... is there a Nook equivalent of the Kindle Fire?
Ooh, they had
a
tablet.
Color, right?
There was. I don't know if they've really done too well. I suppose, like, I did have a Nook for a while, and my sister had one, I think, and when she was kind of looking through which one to get, and at the time, she did she did go to the library a lot, and only, I believe that at the time, the Nook had a service where you could rent books. And I don't think the Kindle did at the time. I believe everyone does now. Like, you can rent books, I think EPUB or some sort of format it was. I forgot what the service was where you could rent, or I keep saying rent, but it's like check out books from the library. And in a way,
that's
it is
essentially,
like that.
Yeah, what it is.
Yeah, it's So that's one of the reasons I went with the Nook, as well as it had a rubber backing, so it was a little bit more durable. I don't know what the Nook does now, and I did have a couple tablets at the time after that, I had the regular Mini, and then I think that the Retina Mini, and I hate to say, you know, iPad this and that, but I did go that route. but and I do have my Nook still, and it is rugged as it is and everything. I'm not using that. So,
sure, yeah. Sure.
So not to get too far off. I know we're kind of talking about the hardware a bit more, but I just wanted to kind of go with the services of mostly about the library and how you could rent. There we go again. But anyway, rent books in a way where it would give you a timeline. And then when your time's up, if you didn't renew it, it would just basically delete the book off of your Kindle or your Nook or your iPad or whatever.
Well, and I think that brings up a good point because we did the... I think I once let you share one of my Kindle books.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought that was a really good service. I think you purchased this book, and then you let me share it for X number of days or weeks or whatever it was. I forgot what it was exactly, but
that was with the Kindle. And I think at the time, you just used the Kindle app, didn't you?
And that's another positive about the iPad. You can, if you have... If a lot of your books are either at Nook or Barnes & Noble or whatever, you can use the iPad, just download the app, and you basically have your whole library.
Yeah.
You're not locked into one ecosystem, too. You can use Kindle versus Nook. You can have them both on the same thing, or iBooks if you wanted.
iBooks
is another one, too. And that's, I know, I hate, like, I always think, like, oh, I don't want a lot from everything, but... It is a good solution, the iPad, not to talk that up, because, readability, you kind of are staring at a LCD or LED screen all day. You might not necessarily want to do that, whereas you do have a little bit better readability with something that is a little bit more monochrome or the e-ink or e-paper or whatever it is.
The nice thing is you can have both if you want, if you've got the funds.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the Apple Watch. Boom, I want to read a book on that.
Need a magnifying glass just to...
one word and then you just scroll.
Well, it's funny you should say it. It sounds funny, but there are
it does. So that's why I laughed.
So there's thanks. So there's apps out there that do that that are supposed to improve your reading speed. And that's literally what that is it just pops up one word at a time. So if they did that, they could conceivably put that on an Apple Watch, and it would just be one word at a time, just like that, at a rapid pace, though, or at a certain pace, whatever you want the pace to be.
You have to be really, like, focused on it, though. Like, on your, you have to go, your wrist up here and just, I don't know.
Wait, ready for this?
What's that?
I know Kung Fu. Just like that.
There it is, the Matrix. Shane's Neo.
So okay, anyway. the battery life on the iPad is going to be not nearly as good as any of the monochrome Kindles, but in theory, most Android devices out there, it's going to be it will be better, and that's one of the things Apple always prides itself on, is battery life. So for the most part, you're going to get a pretty decent charge out of the thing. That is until they update the software and suddenly you're I mean, who knows? I've heard of that, where sometimes updating the software, people get worse battery life. And I think more often than not, it's probably because there's a location service on or something like that. But storage space, you're going to get, certain... As far as books go, it's not really an issue. If you're using just iBooks, which is the reading application, since we're talking about readers, e-readers here... books themselves aren't going to take up a huge amount of space unless you're getting like a picture book,
Some of those iBooks, I think, have a little bit more interactability, if that's a word, where you have videos and just things like that.
Which is kind of neat. That is another good point. That is an advantage.
I hate to, come off as like an Apple fanboy all the time, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's just like, because there is good, points. If you're just a reader and, you don't really want any of the other fluff and you only have a couple bucks to spend or whatever, the Nook or the Kindle Fire or the Kindle or the regular Kindle, those are great options too.
Sure. So as far as books go, it's not going to take up a lot of storage space, but obviously certain things like, apps, any sort of other app you download on there, that's going to all add to the storage space. And that's something you have to take into account even with your books, potentially. You know, if you've completely depleted your storage because you downloaded every instance of Angry Birds or Candy Crush or, you know, whatever meets your fancy. The
Fallout one. What's the Fallout one?
Fallout Shelter.
Yeah, that's the one.
Any of that, you're going to potentially have run into an issue where, you know, maybe you won't even be able to download a single book because you're completely out of storage space. You never know. But so the iPad, they're going to run somewhere between. This is quite the range. I realize this, but I had to look it up, and it is from the smallest, from the least storage iPad Mini being $299 up to the highest. I guess that would be the most storage iPad Air 2. You're looking at $829, so $299 to $829. Quite the range there, and the lowest, obviously, still significantly more than what a Kindle, a traditional Kindle, is going to cost you. But I'm going to say 4.5 out of 5 stars goes to the iPad, even with the cons of the battery life not being as good, and the what was the other one? Not being able to read, not being able to read in sunlight. Yep.
Can't you get a screen, like something to put over the screen to make it a little better?
Probably.
I don't know.
I'm sure.
I think they've got some third-party things.
Maybe glare, but if you're outside in the sun, you still can't crank the brightness up enough to make it probably as nice as the Kindle.
Is it like a dimmer or something?
It's kind of tough. Yeah, we're just saying if you were looking to buy just something to read books on, I don't know if the iPad is better than the Kindle.
Oh, exactly.
But
no,
that's a good point.
You know,
you don't need all that extra stuff. You're right.
So if you were, I guess if we're doing strictly as an e-reader, that's all you need it for. Then do we base the star rating on that? Do we say 3 out of 5?
Well, then we say the iPad's probably too expensive, or you know, maybe the price point is a little bit of a negative. Then I don't know.
Yeah. So as an e-reader, maybe I'd say 3 out of 5 stars. I don't know, Matt.
I actually like reading on the Air 2. I think the resolution is really good, but I don't read out
the DPI though.
I don't read outside very much. Yeah, so the glare is not really a big issue for me. But yeah, I guess price.
It all depends on who you are, and yeah, as a product, I'm still gonna say 4 out of 5 stars. But
nice.
No, they're both great. Yeah, I honestly, it really boils down to what you're gonna use it for.
Sure. So the last thing I want to just bring up here, and this is a total generalization here of Android tablets, because there's a lot of them. They're all very different. And so we're just going to maybe say the Kindle Fire as just kind of a general one here, because that is, correct me if I'm wrong, that is an Android tablet, right? That does run Android.
I believe so.
Even if it doesn't look like Android, it's just running off of the core of what Android is. Similar to the iPad, it's not going to read great in the sunlight. It is a color backlit display, also like the iPad. Generally, it's going to be better than than an e-ink display, but generally speaking, we do sound like Apple fanboys a lot, but from my personal experience, Android tablets, including the Kindle Fire, they're not going to be as responsive as iPads, as at least, you know, the more recent iPads. They've come a long way. The refresh rates on a lot of Android, or you know, some of the better Android tablets and phones, the refresh rate has gotten better on those. But I still find, from a, you know, if I were to just pick up someone's random Android tablet they have lying around, I find it's not very speedy, personally. Would you guys agree with that, or do you think I'm crazy?
Yes. I'd probably just say that I think people look at the Android tablets because they are cheaper than iPads, and the reason they're cheaper is probably because the hardware isn't as high-end.
Right.
I don't think it has anything to do with the operating system. I think it's just more that those are probably the brand of, you know, the type of Android tablets that are out in the wild.
Well, okay, there's that. That's a valid point, but at the same time, I still find like the higher end Androids are not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're cheaper or not. I feel like, you know, for instance, say the Galaxy S5 or something. This isn't a tablet, but just as an example here, an Android device. I still find like even the higher end ones are just not quite as fast.
The actual phone wise, yeah.
Yeah, so that, I don't know. I guess that's really all I'm saying here.
Just the Kindle Fire in general, just seems like it's kind of the worst of both worlds. Like,
yeah,
you get the expensive price of something like a tablet versus, and you don't get the readability. And then you're also locked into Kindle's ecosystem, which I think, you know, if you're going to go the tablet route, I think you should probably just pick your favorite Android or your favorite iPad and go with that versus something like, I can't remember. Maybe it's easier to use the Kindle Fire. I don't know. I mean, if you are daunted by the number of stuff you might have to do with an Android or an iPad, maybe this would be the one. Maybe one you'd get your parents, but I can't imagine most people would want or be happy with this. They'd probably want more after getting used to it.
Yeah. What's that?
I was just saying, good point. Like,
good point.
Yeah. Once you realize what you have, you're like, oh, I guess I want more.
Along with that, you're pretty much going to be able to do any functionality you really want with the thing. And, you know, to Android's credit, even nowadays, maybe there are some things you're going to be able to do on an Android that you might not be able to do on an iPad. At this point, they're kind of few and far between. And a lot of it just has to do with customizability of your device itself. But, you know, you will be able to download apps and browse the web like you would be doing on an iPad also. Having said that, it is a completely different, and I think one of you guys was already talking about this, how you're on the Amazon ecosystem, I guess it would be. So does that mean, but you can download things from Android Play or not?
You might be able to hook it up I think you might have to go through some hoops to get Android Play on there. I think Kindle's got its own store that you download stuff from. They've got their own kind of walled garden there.
Sure.
So
yeah, I pretty much think it's tough. Android,
you know what? Yeah, I think I've actually done this actually. So I don't, now that I think about it, because I don't own one myself, but I've played around with one. And I want to say I tried, but having said that, like every time I've tried to download, this is the example. Like every time I've tried to download Hearthstone on an Android device, it doesn't work. I know we're talking about e-readers. But the storage space is limited, more limited than an iPad, from what I've seen. And I think that a lot of the time it has to do with, for whatever reason, it seems to have to do with having, you know, 8 gigabytes on an SD card and 8 internal gigabytes to make that, you know, total of 16. Somehow that always seems to be an issue whenever I try to do this.
I'm curious on that, and I don't have too much experience with that, but and with Android, because they do have the SD cards, how does that memory kind of, is it just all in one? Like, I've got 8 on internal, 8 on memory card. Does it say it has 16, or can I not, like, I'm just wondering if I could install an app and it would just kind of crossover between both of those, or
I don't think
can I
so.
Not do that?
I don't think it works that way based on my experience.
I gotta say no, but I would be hopeful yet surprised yes, but no, I guess not then.
No, yeah. I haven't had
that
good
is really
luck
annoying.
And is there a way to when you save something? I guess this probably makes me feel like dumb because I'm Mr. Apple Play, whatever. But like, I save something on Android or whatever, however it is, can I designate, you know, like I would on a Windows machine, you know, I want it on, you know, the card versus the internal storage, or does it just pick one until one's full and then goes to the other route? Do you guys know that?
I sound kind of dumb too. I think with Android, you've got more of an access to, I think you get more of an access to the actual storage space. So you may be able to pick that.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like, just being in Apple universe all the time, it's just like, you know, obviously they don't have any, you know, external storage options, but you know, it's not like I can drop down and select Flappy Drive, because that's what I feel like an SD card is.
Flappy Drive. Flappy Drive?
Flappy.
Flappy Drive is the new game.
It reminds me of like the first cell phone I had when I enter a phone number, and it's like, oh, do you want to save it to the SIM or do you want to save it to whatever memory it had?
And yeah.
It just kind of drove me nuts.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Motorola. Holla.
Yes. So, yeah, again, so the battery life, though, not generally speaking, as I mentioned, iPads tend to have pretty decent battery life, and Android tablets, probably not so much. That, I will say, seems to be also a common issue, is the battery life on Android devices, and I don't think the Kindle is really much different there, but, you know, I shouldn't speak too much, as I guess I can't say specifically with the Kindle Fire that I've had a lot of experience actually charging or anything like that. But Matt has a dog all of a sudden on the screen.
I think I did that twice now.
Nice, awesome. So if battery life is a concern and you want all of the functionality of a tablet, probably going to want to steer toward an iPad. I should also say, between the stores, you know, the App Store and the Apple App Store is just kind of generally considered the most robust and the most apps available and all that. So, you know, Tony has a dog on the screen. I'm the only one without a dog.
That's right.
That's okay. I do this by choice. So, at any rate, the... yeah, the battery probably not going to be quite as nice. And storage space. For books, probably not going to be a big issue. But just keep that in mind that I've had some issues with storage space on Android devices, personally.
Hearthstone, I got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not a small game either, so it makes sense, I guess. But it is.
I know. I don't want to get too far off. I'm just curious. The gigs. Is it 2 gigs?
I think it is like 2 gigabytes. So yeah, keep that in mind. Most of the stuff you're downloading is not going to be 2 gigs.
My first Nook, I think that's a 2 gig limit on that internal storage.
Okay.
And I don't think you could add more to that. But again, like, what is a book?
Not
100K or whatever. I don't.
Not
I don't
even
know.
Maybe. I mean, depends on what you have for illustrations in the book.
Well, it's monochrome. I don't even know what generation that Nook is, but it's the one. I don't think it was the first gen, but whatever they had, that rubber back, I thought it was great, rugged. Yeah. You know, I could drop it; it'd be okay. But I think it had 2 gigs.
But you really are going to get more. You know, the books are really something to maybe keep in mind if you're doing a sample of the book. You know, in a lot of cases, a lot of these e-stores, these bookstores, you're going to be able to download a sample book first. And maybe if you see the book's got a lot of illustrations, you might want to keep that in mind, because it could potentially take up a fair amount of storage because of that. But more often than not, you know, you're reading a book to read the book. So
that's true. Plain text, and it's... the plain text. But if you're looking for a book that... some of them... And I go back to this programming one that Shane and I kind of were looking at for iOS, and one of them was made more for iBooks, and it had the more of the interactive ability of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a word, but anyway, it was made more for, you know, the iPad in a way, you know, the color screen, or even the, now that you can do iBooks on, you know, the Mac now. I don't know if you can download, you know, the Kindle. Whatever, Kindle or the Nook applications on desktops. Can you do that? Can I read an ebook on a desktop computer or a laptop?
Yeah.
Kindle's got that.
They had it, yeah.
They didn't have Retina display for a while. They finally got that.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Well, there you go. That's something. But
yeah, that is something. That is something.
This came out, you couldn't really, I don't think, read some of this stuff on a desktop.
Right. That's a very good point, is you could download the Kindle app to either, you know, the iPad or Kindle Fire, those types of devices. And I believe also Save Your Progress.
Yes.
Right, which is clearly that's important. But, you know, again, if you get an iPad and a Kindle Paperwhite, you would be able to, you know, potentially use both, one inside, one out. So kind of a kind of a good point to be made if you're shopping around for this sort of stuff.
I hate to say this now because we haven't really talked about this, but I kind of read books on my iPhone now.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Pretty much everything we just said about the iPad, true. Most of it can also be, true for the iPhone, yeah. iOS in general, yeah.
Game of Thrones right now, that's what I'm reading on my iPhone.
And again, same with Android phones. Most of it also true of Android tablets.
Not to keep this going, but yeah.
Right, yes, yeah. Very
true. But you're right, tablets, iPhone, same kind of thing.
Yep. So price range there for the Kindle Fire specifically goes between $99 and $379. So the lowest is pretty low, you know, significantly lower than the lowest iPad, and the highest is significantly lower than the highest iPad. So cost wise, you'd be saving some money here. But yeah, I mean, for sure, if e-reading is the only thing you want to do, I would take a Kindle anything, or Kindle Paperwhite, I should say, over a Kindle Fire probably, but maybe that's just me. So I'm going to say 3 out of 5 stars for, based on my somewhat limited experience with a Kindle Fire. What do you guys say to that? Any agreements or not, or... there's a star rating boring you.
I haven't used one, so I guess I can't really give it a star rating, but sure. I probably wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
Yeah.
Just because there seems like better options for no matter what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And I don't know if anyone's been saying anything about, other than me, about the Nook, but, you know, they got, I'm just looking at Nook's website right now, the Nook Glow Light, which I suppose you can read in the dark too, but $100. And looks like a basic one. I'm pretty sure it's monochrome. It's probably no different than the Kindle.
Who made the joke? Who made the joke about if they put the E in front of the or after the, if it was the E Nook?
That was Matt.
Then it would be the Nook E.
Matt, you.
Nice.
I don't know. I like whenever I look at like a book to read or whatever, I check out maybe Barnes and Noble. That's probably from a long time ago. I've been doing that, but I also know that Amazon has a good selection of things as well. So
I would like to also like to mention, you know, Tony was bringing up the interactivity you get with the iBooks, which can be. Mm-hmm. I haven't honestly the books that I've used on iBooks haven't really had a lot of that, but
no,
that seems like it could be kind of neat. And along with that, that seems to be something that they're trying to do with this new news application that Apple announced at WWDC. Seems to have a lot of that same or even more interactivity now and animations and things like that. You know, which if you like news, that they are, as I think we mentioned on whatever it was, the last or couple episodes. Was it the last episode? Maybe it was the last one. But how then, you know, new news app is going to be integrated into iPads in iOS. What, 9? Is that where we're at now?
Yep.
Wow. Crazy.
At 9.
So maybe another reason to consider iOS for your e-reading. But I guess that's... was there anything else you wanted to mention about the Nook, Tony, or no?
Is that I suppose quickly, since I'm on their site right now, the Nook Glow Light. It's a 6-inch reader. It's your basic monochrome display. I'm sure it's similar to the Kindle monochrome one. But the other ones they have now, I think they kind of got rid of whatever their Nook tablet, their color display ones, and they're touting the Samsung Galaxy Tab 4 Nook 7.0 and the Galaxy Tab Nook 10.1. So I suppose it's 10-inch screen or 10.1. So yeah, and you know the Samsung Galaxy Nook 4. Or 4 Nook 7.1, that's $150, and the 10.1 inch one is $279.99.
Okay.
Or $280.
Sure. So I guess those kind of fall in line with the.
Yeah, and those are color displays too. Those are LED. Yeah.
Right. Fall in line with the Android tablets, which is very, again, very general, broad category there. But
also it and I don't know if this is anything, but the 6-inch e-reader, the monochrome one, is a 212 pixels per inch.
I guess so we could have 300.
but so I don't know about the readability, but so 300 is, I suppose, better.
I suppose we really could have generalized it by saying, you know, e-ink displays, those three categories, e-ink displays, iOS tablets, and Android tablets. I guess that's kind of what we, essentially what we've done here. So, and I just want to thank listener Christina for this idea, this week's suggestion for the e-readers. Yeah, so just throwing that out there. Thanks for listening. We appreciate the suggestions, comments, and anything like that. And if you would like to contact us, you can find our website at niceguynetwork.com/techies. You can leave us a rating on iTunes. We would very much like you to leave us a rating on iTunes. So leave us a rating on iTunes. if you have a soul. Just kidding.
Oh, my God.
You can also find us on Stitcher. We are on Stitcher at a kind of a lengthy URL, so I won't say that here. We are on Alpha Geek Radio. You can find us there Sundays at 6-7 Central on Channel 2. And they do a lot of stuff there with the TuneIn Radio. I guess there's a lot of different things going on with TuneIn, and I've heard things about you can find them on your Roku, Kindle, your Roku devices, and a lot of different things going on there. And I think the Amazon Echo, and I think there's even maybe some Apple Watch things going on there, I want to say, which is kind of interesting to hear. Which means potentially you can hear us on there also, because Alpha Geek is all over that. Our email address is techiespodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to email us and give us any comments at all, we would love to hear from you. Even if they're negative, why not? Let us know. Tell us we suck. I don't care. I mean, I'll probably cry myself to sleep, but at the same time...
I'll cry. Someone will have to watch him or something.
At the same time, you know, it's better than nothing. Because I'm still crying myself to sleep regardless, so I might as well have something to read. Might as well have something to read on my Kindle while I'm crying myself to sleep. Just saying.
Poor Shane.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't know. Is email on Kindle? I don't know if there's email on there. I shouldn't say
that.
Yeah,
well,
I guess if you can go to a website, you can go to gmail.com. Sure. Check that out. Facebook.com/techiespodcast. That's where our Facebook page is located at, so you should go there also and see some things that we post there, which are, you know, mostly about when the show is going on. I should probably post some other things on there, along with the Twitter account, which is at Techies Podcast. That's where we do the Twitter thing. Okay, so where can everyone find Matt or Tony? If you would like to let us know where they can find you, you can go ahead and do that at this time.
Matt?
Oh, I guess Twitter at Hewlock, HEWLOCK.
That's an interesting name, Malcolm. Matt. Where did you get that name from?
Maybe it's from the wrong one. I don't know. Go to
What is mine again?
Do you have more than one? Tony, what? You don't know what yours is.
It's oh, crap.
This is excellent radio right here.
What is mine? How do I find that out? Because I'm still sort of a noob to this. Look at this. I'm on a tech podcast, and I don't even know how to use Twitter.
Don't tweet him. I tried it, and he never tweeted back.
Oh. It's unfortunately, well, I guess I'm saying it because it's my last name, but it's EIBL123.
There you go.
And it's called Eyeball. I don't care what anyone says.
123. I love that part.
Yeah. Eyeball.
Eyeball. Echo India Bravo Lima.
That's
123.
Right. Nice. Matt, did you find out if that was the correct one?
Yep, mine was correct.
Okay, good. And you can find me at Shave Mad Ox. That is a weird old name from Halo way back in the day that I used. So,
Halo, is that still going on?
I haven't even played Halo in forever, ever since my Xbox went missing at some point when I was younger. It's been a while. So, having said that, I haven't played Halo in a while. But the name still stuck, so it's been my alias since then. Along all
I took Matt's actually from Halo. I don't think we can say it.
Yeah, it's questionable. But it's one of those things like the South Park episode when they, let's just say that word is involved, when they said hundreds of times when it became.
Yeah, they had a counter in the lower right hand, left hand corner.
So technically, it's probably okay for iTunes to say it. Let's just say Ape S. Right?
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Quality.
There you go. That's true.
Classy. That's the word.
Classy.
Better stay classy.
All right.
That's ready to go. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate it, since Matt has no patience right now.
He needs to get going. He's got a
day. Oh, yeah, and find more shows at niceguynetwork.com. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We love you guys.
Take her easy.
Oh, no! You can't do that. Oh, it's my there. Line. And until next time, well, I don't know if I should say it. Take her easy. Try again.